from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome to Sabres Live here on WGR 550 and MSG. I'm Marty Baron, and with me for the first half of the show, we have Jordan LaBarber of Sabres.com. And Jordan, before I get to you, today is like a Saturday because, well, it's really Thursday, but it's a Saturday because yesterday was a Wednesday. It felt like a Friday because we had Shayna Goldman on, and Duffer is off for the rest of the week. So, Jordan, you have the honor of being the first ever guest on a Saturday Sabres Live show. But it's not a Saturday, it's a Thursday. So that's really something to consider here.
I had no idea. That is an honor. I'm really excited. My actual Saturday is going to be spent by the pool. So two Saturdays in 1 week, I'll take it.
Yeah, you know what? That's pretty good. Today is a very nice day, and I hope people treat it like a Saturday because it's nice and you know, not too hot. You can get a lot of things done. You can, you know, go for a long walk. It's going to be awesome. Also joining us on this Thursday, Saturday edition of Sabres Live will be Megan Chaika at 12:30. She's the co-founder, CEO of Statleets. You've seen her on TSN and ESPN, especially at the NHL entry draft, where she did a great job. So we want to talk a little bit about way too early award odds in the NHL, like who is leading the odds for the Rocket and the Vezina and the Jack Adams and the Norris and all of that. So we'll save that for later. But Jordan, with you, because today is July the 18th, and you know, just 3 weeks ago was the draft, and then was free agency and development camp. So I want to do a little bit of a recap as to, you know, how the draft went, what you thought about Sphere in Vegas and the picks, Konstantin Alanis and the rest of the Sabres draft pick for the 2024 NHL entry draft.
Yeah, Sphere, first of all, was incredible. I know you were there too, experienced it. I'd love to go back there for a show. In terms
what
of the draft,
show?
You know,
that's oh, more man. Like the question, like what kind of show? Like the Dead and Company or like you two? Like where do you fit on that spectrum?
Neither would be my good. So Adele is in Vegas, but she's not at the Sphere. I'd like to see Adele. Okay. Give me Adele at Sphere.
Okay, Adele at Sphere would be pretty good. Okay, so that's your taste, that's your speed. I get it. Okay, Sphere was awesome. What else?
Konstantinos, I mean, he was one of those guys leading up to it in that group of four or five players that you really saw again and again. Mocked to the Sabres, not at 14, but at 11. And he happened to be, we said it was going to be an unpredictable draft. it was certain guys fell further than you thought, but he happened to be there when the Sabres picked. And the thing you hear about him is that you heard before and you've heard since is he may be pro ready sooner than some of the other players in the draft based on the fact that he's already played pro hockey in Finland for as long as he has. And that was one of the things Kevin Adams said right after the draft is, you know, everything's on the table. You know, sometimes, you know, you might preach patience and the fact that, you know, you left the door open for Consta to either play, whether it's an AHL or the NHL, see what happens at camp. He could go back to Finland too. I think shows a lot about how highly he's regarded in terms of his pro readiness.
Hey, you know what? Last year was Zach Benson, and we saw Zach in development camp and prospect challenge and in training camp really take a step forward. A smaller guy, but just works so hard and never quits on pucks. I feel like Consta Alenius is the same way. Not a big guy, but then, you know, at development camp, you saw the skills, you saw the agility, you saw the tenacity, the work ethic, like all of that came into play. So were you impressed by what Consta showed at the development camp just after being drafted in the first round by the Sabres?
Absolutely. It's a small sample size, but you saw those things you mentioned. And the one is the competitiveness. You know, he might not be the biggest guy, but he's going to be able to play, you know, bigger than his size. And one of my biggest takeaways from the draft is I was able to go up after the first round and speak with Consta's brother, his older brother. And Consta, you know, growing up with an older brother, that's what kind of gave me my competitive edge. We competed at everything. He told me about a time when they were playing hockey in the basement. His older brother took a few stitches to the eye and I stick. So really getting to hear kind of firsthand about that competitiveness and kind of seeing it come to life on the ice was pretty cool.
Well, it was kind of funny because Consta and his family got on the plane on the way back from Vegas and flew back to Buffalo with us, right? And we weren't even off the ground in Vegas because we had to wait, you know, for some delays. And Consta was completely passed out sleeping and his older brother was laughing like, hey, look at him. The kid can't handle it, right? So, again, there's that brotherly competitive nature that they have. That's awesome. Okay, the draft was one thing. Then we moved right into free agency and trades because the Sabres later made a trade acquiring Ryan McLeod. But let's start with free agency. You've got, well, there was actually a trade at the draft too with Beck Malenstein. So you got Malenstein coming in, Sam Lafferty coming in, Jason Zucker coming in, Nikola Obey-Kubel coming in. So along with Ryan McLeod. So those five are all kind of slotted to be maybe bottom six, maybe fight one or two spots in the top six. We'll see. But how do you see those five additions replacing what really left for the Sabres? Because you look at no Zemgus Girgensons, no Kalaposo, no Casey Mittelstadt. That was the Bo Byron trade. No Tyson Jost, no Victor Olofsson. So it's basically a new five that comes in for an old five. How do you see the change in that look?
Yeah.
Oh, Jeff Skinner. That's another one I should have mentioned.
And maybe you have Jason Zucker to kind of, you know, replace some of the goals you lose from Jeff Skinner. He's only a couple of years removed from a 27 goal season. He's an accomplished scorer throughout his career. And then, but he's kind of a bit of an outlier amongst the group, whereas he's kind of a more veteran offensive player. I know not, you know, purely offensive player, but, and the other guys, they have this edge to them. They have these peripheral skills that they're adding to the group. And obviously the one that sticks out that's been talked about at length is the physicality. You know, you have Malenstein and Obey-Kubel and Lafferty, all these guys, I think Kevin Adams pointed out, would have led the Sabres forwards in hits last year. These are guys who, you know, they hit hard. They're going to bring an edge to the Sabres forecheck, and they're going to bring an element that maybe wasn't totally there, not just last year, but really in quite some time with the Sabres team. So it's going to be interesting to watch how that develops. But maybe one element that hasn't been talked about as much is the speed that's kind of been added to the bottom of the lineup. You know, you hear this physicality and you might not think speed right away, but Ryan McLeod rates as one of the fastest players in the NHL. NHL Edge, these puck tracking statistics measure the player's top speed, one, the top speed they reach in the air, and then two, the amount of speed bursts, they call it, over 22 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So McLeod ranks in the 98th percentile in both these categories, but so does Beck Malinson. He ranks in the 97th percentile. So does Aubrey Cabell, who's in like the 95th, and Lafferty. Mm-hmm. So you're talking four guys who rate right among the fastest players in the league, which hasn't quite been talked about as much as the physicality.
Yeah, I did talk about that with Duffer when all the signings and trades were happening, and I did bring up the NHL Edge statistics. And when you look at, you know, last season when I was watching the Sabres, and one of the critical point of where I felt they were missing, especially on offense, is I felt they were slow. I felt like they were playing slower than they did the year before. And a lot of that, it's not just about skating. It's not just about, hey, get the puck and skate fast. It's about moving the puck fast. It's about being open, about finding the open ice. Systems mm-hmm. come into play, right? Like defensive zone coverage. And then can you turn that into a speed in transition and attack, scoring chances off the rush? Those are all things that, you know, I felt last season was really lacking when it came mm-hmm. to the Sabres and their offensive game. But if you take Jost and you take Oposo and you take Mittelstadt and you take Olofsson, they were all in the below 50th percentile in speed mm-hmm. burst and everything. And the fastest of the group, Skinner was in there as well. The fastest of the group was Zemgus Girgensons. And a lot of people are going to say, like, Zemgus is not fast anymore. Like, he had some speed early in his career, but he didn't have the same speed in his later years. So when mm-hmm. you think that the fastest guy you lost is Zemgus Girgensons, and, you know, the slowest guy you acquired is Jason Zucker, who is as fast as Girgensons, if not more. So you definitely mm-hmm. added a ton of speed in the lineup, which is great. Some signings, though, did happen, this summer, like Quentin Byfield sign, and you're looking at others. So we've discussed Jack Quinn, J.J. Peterka. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is going to go to arbitration. Well, Toronto signed Joseph Woll to a three-year extension. Do you feel that, you know, some of those either Quinn Peterka extension, because they have one more year left, or Luukkonen arbitration, do you think that's going to be tough for the Sabres and the players to get that done? Or is it, hey, we've got some good comparables, and just like Thompson and Cousins and Dahlin and Power were done pretty easily, that will be the same mm-hmm. thing for those three players?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because the picture, people talk about the amount of cap space remaining. I know it sits somewhere around, was it 15 million right now? But it's a lot different than it was a couple of years ago when you didn't have Thompson and Power and Dahlin. It seemed like you had endless cap space. And now you're projecting to Quinn and Peterka, two guys who could, you know, earn quite a bit of money. And it gets a little tighter to allocate all the dollars. So, of course, that's going to make it more complicated than maybe it was previously. But you know, both those players are under club control for quite some time. You know, they would become RFAs after the year. So yep. I believe Kevin Adams said he's not expecting early extensions. You know, it might go on to, you know, the later part of next year, but we'll see. And then Luukkonen, yeah, he's set for an arbitration date. Obviously, the team could still come to an agreement before then.
Yeah, and obviously, I loved going to arbitration. I went one time, and the first time I actually did not go through the whole process. We settled out of arbitration in the morning, but still getting the mm-hmm. briefs and reading the stats and reading what they're going to say about you, I thought it was cool. I thought it was fun. Like Jeremy Swayman last year with Boston, he said, I used it for motivation, right? He saw some mm-hmm. of the goalies that Boston compared Swayman to and was like, I'm way better than those guys, and I'm going to show it to you. So I feel like that could be a good motivational part of Luukkonen if they ever were to go to arbitration, to kind of get him going again this year, the same way that he was in the second half last season. When you talk about first half, second half schedule, you had an article on Sabres.com, by the way, Jordan LaBarber, Sabres.com with us here on Sabres Live. If you're listening on WGR 550 and you can't see him on MSG right now, he's got the nice thick beard and he's always nicely coiffed. So, Jordan, you're looking good this summer. But listen,
thank you.
you wrote something on Sabres.com about the schedule when it was released, some marquee dates. And I look at, obviously, the first game of the season, the LA Kings. Well, not the first game of the season. The home opener is October 12th. October 10th. Man, I'm messing that up. They do play two games in Prague against the Devils before that. But Friday, October 10th is, you know, against the LA Kings. And then a couple of days later, did I say Friday? I think it's Thursday, October 10th, right? And then Saturday, October 12th, is the Florida Panthers. Stanley Cup champions, Florida Panthers come in. That's how it's going to start. But is there something with you that stands out when you look at the schedule, games that you got circled? I've got a bunch that I've already got circled, and we can go through that. But, Jordan, what are you looking at this year?
You know, and just quickly to add to the point about the first game, that's also going to be – it's got a new element this year with Lindy being back behind the bench. LaVerty already coached those games in Europe against his former team with the Devils. But how surreal will it be to see Lindy Ruff behind – the Sabres bench in Buffalo. That's going to be quite a cool scene. You know,
how red will he be? Like, how, like, I know I want the Sabres to win, but I want to see a good Lindy Ruff outburst, yelling at the referees, throwing stuff down, taking his gum and throwing it on the ground. Like, I want to see something right away from Lindy.
Oh, that'd be amazing. And that would fire the place up. I feel like people's eyes will be on the bench as much as they'll be on the ice for at least the first little bit of that game, which would be, like I said, a little bit surreal, I'm sure, for a lot of the people in Buffalo. How about early December? Five-game homestand. I think it's the longest homestand of the season. Mm-hmm. And the Utah Hockey Club comes to Buffalo for the first time. That's always exciting.
Yeah, it's in the middle of that five-game homestand. It's December 7th. Yep. Utah comes into Buffalo. That's circled on my calendar. Also, the day before and the day after Thanksgiving. This year, we're getting Thanksgiving hockey. We're not getting New Year's Eve hockey. The Sabres are on the road in Dallas, I think, on New Year's Eve and continue on to Colorado. But we are getting Wednesday, the night before Thanksgiving, and Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, both home games, which will be cool. December the 20th is Toronto and Buffalo, the first trip. But then, do you know when the second time Toronto comes in to Buffalo this year? It's April the 15th. It's the second last game of the year. Now, I can't wait until this Sabres team, and I know I'm an optimist, but I'm like in a playoff spot, two games left, Toronto comes into the building, and the Sabres fans are just playoff atmosphere right there. Like, I think that April 15th game and then April 17th against Philly would be just out of this world.
It'd be amazing. Yeah. The driving to the rink and with the spring in the springtime weather, you probably see some people outside, maybe a little tailgating from both sides of the board. That would be ideal.
That would be ideal. How about March the 20th, Jordan, as the Sabres go on for their first ever visit to Salt Lake City, Utah? They're going to play Utah Hockey Club in Utah on March the 20th. Something a little special for you, maybe getting on the road and getting to see Salt Lake City for the first time. Have you ever been there?
I have never been. Have you?
No, I've never been. Remember I hated Salt Lake City because 2002 Olympics, it was Quebec City and Salt Lake City that were in the running for the 2002 Olympics. And Quebec City, my hometown, we lost out to Salt Lake City. So I hated Salt Lake City since. Said, I'm not going there. But I think now I'm grown up and I'm past that. I want to see what Salt Lake City is all about. So I don't think we're going to go. We're going to do our part in studio, but you'll get to experience it.
Yeah, it's always special seeing any new building, but a new market. I got to experience that a few times now with Vegas and Seattle. We'll miss Arizona, though. It wasn't an ideal situation for the NHL or for really anyone involved playing at Arizona State, but it was a really unique atmosphere. And one of the cool things I'll always remember is where we were sitting for the press, you were kind of right in the crowd. You know, it's almost like Harbor Center where you're just above the seats at a little perch. And so many Sabres fans were there, just so many. And they'd stop and they'd talk to you. And that was a lot of fun. In fact, you recognize people. I think we made two visits there. I recognize people from the year before and remember the conversations we had. So I will miss that, but definitely in terms of road games, probably that visit to Utah will be the the number one I have circled.
Yeah, Utah is going to be cool. Yeah, I haven't, well, unfortunately now I won't have a chance to see an NHL game at the Mullet Arena because that's not going to happen. Maybe I'll see a college hockey game there with Arizona State. Who knows? I haven't been to the Mullet Arena. I haven't been to Seattle yet. I'm hoping I get to do that in the next little bit. And then Utah, I'm hoping that we get to travel at some point and I get to go down to Utah for a hockey game. So that happens on March 20th. If there's some Sabres fans that want to go to Utah and see the first ever Sabres game against the Utah Hockey Club, that's happening on March 20th. And I'm surprised. Well, I'm kind of curious to see if there's going to be a lot of Sabres fans from that area because there's Sabres fans in Arizona. You mentioned in Vegas, in Colorado, in Dallas, in Anaheim, LA, there's Sabres fans everywhere. But Utah, I don't know if there's a lot of Sabres fans in and around the area. So it'll be interesting to see how many show up and how many either black and red goat head or blue and gold, jerseys we see in the crowd.
Yeah, maybe a future road crew destination. Maybe we should put that into the air. Yeah.
We just had Rich Dreller on Tuesday because it was Give 716 Day. And we asked to have about 7 road crew parties. And he said, that's going to be a lot and too much. So we're going to start with one. We did one in Tampa last year. It was awesome. We've done Carolina. We've done Vegas. We've done Nashville, New York. We've done so many Washington. We've done so many. Maybe we got to go out west now and do one over there. Jordan LaBarber, Sabres.com, joining us here for another 5-7 minutes. And then Megan Chaika will join us, co-founder and CEO of StatLeets at the bottom of the hour. But one thing we're going to talk about with Megan Chaika is the way too early odds for some of the trophies at the end of next season. So the Rocket Richard and the Norris and the Vezina, the Jack Adams, which is the best coach in the National Hockey League, the Selke, best defensive forward. And I feel like we could find Sabres that could be, competing for some of these awards. And the first thing I looked at is the Rocket Richard. I know Austin Matthews is probably the best goal scorer in the game right now. But Tage Thompson scored 47 goals 2 years ago. And this past year, he had, 29, but had a busted hand for a big part of the year and still almost got to 30. And I look at the odds. Tage is tied for 18th at plus 10,000 when you look at the odds. Austin Matthews is number one at minus 115. Do you feel like that's a little disrespect for Tage Thompson to be as far as 18th on the list right now when you look at the Rocket Richard Trophy odds for next season?
I do. I mean, it speaks to his year last year, but as we know, he was battling things and he still got to 30. Remember that you said he scored 47 goals a couple of years ago, but that the pace he was on the first half of that season, if he could achieve that for even three quarters of a season, you're talking 50 plus goals. So I was surprised. Actually, the list I saw that I was looking at earlier was they only had the top 15. And I was surprised that he wasn't in there. And that explains that he was 18.
Yeah, no. And obviously, anybody that knows and that has dabbled into sports betting, shop your odds. I mean, this is kind of like something that we're seeing, but every site has different odds. And if there's somebody that you like or someone that you feel you could get an edge by, getting better odds somewhere else, definitely shop your odds. One that is interesting for me is the Norris Trophy with Rasmus Dahlin. Yeah. I feel like a lot of it is points and power play and goals, and Dahlin can put up a lot of points, and if the power play gets back to where it was 2 years ago, Thompson will score more, Dahlin will get more points, but Dahlin is ninth on the list behind guys like McCarr and Fox and Hughes, and I can see that Roman Josi, but Noah Dobson is seventh with the New York Islanders, and Dahlin is tied with Josh Morrissey actually at plus 2,000. What's your comfort level when it comes to Rasmus Dahlin and being in the top three, maybe for the Norse?
That would be my bet. I'm a strong believer that Rasmus Dahlin is going to win a Norris at some point. And, before we started the show, we were talking a little bit about the Jack Adams Award and how team success, especially would get probably Lindy in that conversation if the Sabres were able to make the playoffs. I think it's similar with Dahlin. I think team success combined with maybe a revamped power play. Look at 2 years ago, Rasmus Dahlin, I wrote 60, his 55, first 55 games. He got injured after that and kind of had a little bit of a drought. But those first 55 games, it's almost two-thirds of the year. It's 62 points. It's a 92-point pace. And that whole year, he was tracking like he would be a Norris candidate. And a lot of that had to do with the his assist totals from the power play. So a revamped power play could. But I feel like if he gets those offensive numbers back, which he's completely capable of, and if he's in a position where the Sabres are around the playoff race, people will start to see the other things. You know, he's towards the top of the league in ice time every single year. He leads the Sabres in block shots. He, you know, leads the Sabres in hits. He does it all. And I feel like people will notice that more if the production gets back up to that pace that he had a couple of years ago, and if he's on a winning team.
Do you like Dallin with power better, or do you like Dallin with Joki Aho or Bo Byram? Because I feel like that's your top four. And Matthias Samuelsson now, healthy. Like, I think Sammy will probably be more slotted as a third pair defenseman with Connor Clifton. And then that leaves you power, Dallin, Byram, and Joki Aho as your top four. But who do you like for a partner for Rasmus Dallin that gives him the best chance to be, you know, a Norris candidate, like a top three guys at the end of the year?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. And I wonder how much they play it situationally, even within games like Don Granato would, where he, you know, maybe put him with power late in the game if they need a goal. And I like Dahlin and Samuelsson. I thought they complemented each other really well. Obviously, the addition of Bowen Byram changes that a little bit, because now you have another dynamic guy who you probably want playing top 4 minutes. When Byram got here and those two were playing alongside each other, it was cool to see the way they were reading off each other. I would like to see more of that. Mm-hmm. I think with a new coach, you'll probably see a little bit of everything. You'll probably trial and error, right? Until they, you know, establish one.
I feel like Joki Aho really played so much better in the second half. So you can maybe have more of that flexibility now, because it's not just, oh, let's have Dahlin with power, or let's have Dahlin with Samuelsson. I think the lefty-lefty is something that we've discussed, right? Because power's a left-handed shot. Dahlin's a left-handed shot. You know, Samuelsson's a left-handed shot. The only two right-handed shots are Joki Aho and Connor Clifton. But I feel like there's more flexibility there. So obviously something to keep an eye on. And last for you, Jordan, before we got to take a short break here, there's three awards that have odds out right now for the Vezina Trophy, which is the best goaltender, the Jack Adams Award, which is the best coach in the National Hockey League, and the Selke Trophy, which is the best defensive forward. No Sabres factor on any of those odds or early odds right now. If you had to pick one trophy where maybe a Sabres could sneak in there, which one is your favorite trophy, and which, I think when you name the trophy, we'll know you're talking about, but which one's your favorite trophy to see a Sabres sneak up and maybe be a candidate at the end of the year?
I think I'd have to go Vezina Trophy. And, you know, it's tough because you got two young goaltenders who haven't completely established full seasons. But if you splice last year in half and just go January on, it's Ukko Pekka Luukkonen maybe will be a top three Vezina guy. Like, he's not quite at the level of Hellebuyck in that time frame, but he's top 5-6 in almost every other stat, towards the top of the league in wins for an entire half a year. So if he extends that for a full year, who knows?
Who knows? And I think that just seeing his name would be a lot of fun, you know, down the stretch, which means the Sabres would be good, means Luukkonen would be good, means everybody would be happy. So that would be exciting. Jordan, I thank you for joining us on this Saturday, Thursday edition of Sabres Live. I hope you have a great poolside fun on Saturday. Maybe I'll just keep pinging your phone with like text message and see if you're really at the pool or not. But and we'll see you out in the office. But in the meantime, let's remind everybody that on July 27th there will be an open house, so you can check out the available full, half, and quarter season seat locations. You can learn more about member benefits and exclusive perks. Check out unique merchandise and game use equipment for purchase while supply lasts right now. That's just been released last week. Game used equipment. You want to go see sticks and skates and gloves and pants and everything, you can go and check that out. That will be July 27th, open house at KeyBank Center from 12 to 3 p.m. So we'll see you there. And we'll also see you on the way back after this commercial with Megan Chaika, co-founder and CEO of Statleets, also of TSN and ESPN. We'll be back in a minute.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back to Sabres Live here on WGR 550 and MSG. And so happy to be joined by Megan Chayka of Statleets, TSN, ESPN, many other titles. Megan, you're in your office in Niagara-on-the-Lake. How is it going over there right across the river from us in Buffalo?
I'm close. I can almost see the Buffalo border from here. So when you ask me to come on, I'm like, of course. Why would we not want to talk about the Sabres in July?
Yeah, absolutely. So let me ask you, how often do you make the trip over the borders in Buffalo for either some good Trader Joe's or some, you know, specialties here, some chicken wings? How often do you make the trip?
All the tricks that Canadians do, right?
For yes, gas, exactly.
For all the other reasons. I mean, for games too, I love the Sabres. Try to get out there for Bills games as well. I was out there for the combine, so lots of touch points to drive across the border.
Absolutely. It's an easy, I hope you have Nexus or any of those so you
Absolutely.
Can just zoom in, zoom out.
Correct. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about Statleets a little bit. I know we want to talk about some of these awards and the odds for the Way Too Early Awards for next year for the NHL, a little bit about your work with ESPN at the draft. But most importantly, you have been the co-founder and now CEO of Statleets, which does a lot of the analytics work and a lot of the behind the scenes and, you know, projections and recaps. So how did that come about with you and founding the, you know, the company and what do you guys do now to just keep pushing what has been so, so important in the development of analytics through the NHL?
Really, it started over 15 years ago. And I think part of the thesis was that, you know, data would be really important in all levels of business, not just in sports. So I had a lot of experience from, you know, both university and then in the corporate world that, you know, data was not organized that well. It wasn't structured well, wasn't collected in mindful ways, and thought, why not hockey? So saw a gap there 15 years ago. And you can imagine what GMs were thinking, you know, 12, 13 years ago about a woman saying, hey, do you want to do analytics in hockey, and how that was received. And definitely the times have changed, which is wonderful. But a lot of the groundwork was, you know, built 10 years out. So figuring about more efficient ways to collect data, really more of a software play. Our main clients are business to business. So if you don't know us, that's a great thing. We're trying to service other businesses, make things work better, collect better data feeds, automate more, create efficiencies. So our number one pitch, I would say, is like, you know, saving time and saving money for our clients, then making better decisions on the back end. So better ways to work with data, whether that's visualizations. And as you know, at TSN, we do a lot of visuals too. So yep. Connecting to viewers of how to understand and keep up with their favorite hockey teams, their favorite hockey players. Even for this awards type thing, we'll talk about a lot of data and what that could look like, you know, next season. So there's so many use cases now. And at Stathletes, we're more of, software as a service, data as a service company.
What's your favorite advanced stats right now? I know a lot of it, like for me, I love goal save above expectations because that's mirrored to goaltending. And I used to think that some goalies were on good teams and you said, they're just average, but they're on good teams. And some really good goalies were on bad teams. And we didn't have something to really, kind of put in numbers. And now we do. That's my favorite. What's your favorite?
I actually like the passing stats. I think that's really interesting because I think we know intuitively who are really good playmakers, but we don't know the difference between like an average playmaker and an above average playmaker. So finding those people that like can complete passes under pressure, that move the puck to, you know, important areas, that create threatening situations. So I'll give you a good example. Matthew Tkachuk is one of the best players or the best player in the league at completing passes from behind the net. Now, why is that important? Well, it disorients goalies. Right. If you can complete a pass from behind the net to the slot, that's a really high quality scoring chance. So, you know, those players that were like, we know how good they are, but like, how can we quantify that with data? And in that like playmaking passing area, I think it will just revolutionize how those players are not only selected for like roster management, but maybe even like construction of lines, because you can like pair them with people that complement them even more.
Yeah, and it led to Sam Reinhart scoring over 50 goals for the first time in his career. All those passes from below the goal line to Sam in the slot, the goalie can't readjust, and boom, it's in the back of the net. I think that Sam Reinhart would be like you saying, I love that stats of Matthew Tkachuk
exactly.
And the pass completion from below the goal line. Absolutely. So you mentioned TSN. You do some great work with TSN and, with some of the odds and some of the advanced numbers, but you also were on the panel for the draft with ESPN. How was that? I just talked to Jordan LaBarber of Sabres.com and we kind of recapped a little bit our experience at Sphere, but what was your experience, you know, the first round, everything that happened and being there in Vegas in that unique building for the draft?
It was unbelievable. Like, I really do think the NHL knocked it out of the park. And I don't know if, I mean, the general sentiment seemed to be that it was like otherworldly, but I don't think it could have gone better. I mean, just the type of environment that you're in and how exciting it is for those like young guys to step up on that Sphere level element. It was just amazing. And, you know, ESPN does a wonderful job. I mean, they do a lot of like first rounds too, a lot of big broadcasts for other drafts. Yeah. So getting ideas from, you know, the NFL and the NBA about how to like really make people understand how cool it is at that draft level and like the player development journey that these players really are on, and that it's really not like the end of their junior journey. It's just like a part of a transition in their career and the types of players even that these teams are getting. I think those are the stories that need to be told at the draft and to like get the fan base really excited about the type of players that are coming to their teams. You know, really try to work on that this year, especially. So I thought it was a really, really special year. A lot of players, like even to see Iginla go to Utah. I mean, that was a really touching moment. There was just a lot of really cool things that happened during the draft. So I'm just really honored to be a part of it at all.
So obviously you had to do a lot of homework on the players. Last year, Connor Bedard, you know, drafted first overall, made the NHL. We didn't expect Zach Benson, you know, to make the NHL, and he did. So Macklin Celebrini is going to play with the San Jose Sharks, but who is the, you know, the next one of the first rounder that you think will play in the NHL when it's all said and done? Because we got some really, really big names at the top, like Levshinov was pretty big with Michigan State, but with Chicago drafting him, Ivan Demidov to the Montreal Canadiens. I thought that was, you know, a bit of a slip for him to get to number five. But who's the one that, other than Celebrini, that has a chance to play?
I think you touched on it. I think it's Demidov. I think Celine Dion to the NHL pipeline is going to happen. Amazing that he slipped to number five for them. Yep. I mean, what a skilled all-around shooter. Just like potent offense. I think there were other reasons maybe that he slipped. It wasn't his like hockey prowess. So of someone that I think could be number two draft in any draft, not just this one. He's the player that I think could make the biggest splash if he plays in the, if he wants to play in the NHL, if they get him there, whether it's next year, whether it's 2 to 5 years. I mean, I think he's going to be a really big player in the NHL.
Yeah, I think Montreal got themselves a really good one, and they've got a lot of young prospects, which makes life hard for the Sabres because they're in the same division. And we always kind of compare with Ottawa and Detroit and Montreal and Buffalo, and who's that team that's going to take the step forward. So that will be interesting. Megan Chayka of StatLeads, TSN, ESPN is joining us here on Sabres Live on WGR 550 and MSG. Okay. Way too early odds for awards winner of the 24-25 season. We talked a little bit about Tage Thompson being tied 18th at plus 10,000 for the Rocket when I had Jordan on. I feel like that's disrespect to Tage Thompson. I get it. Austin Matthews, the best goal scorer, and probably will win it again this year. But I would have expected Tage to be in the top 10. Where do you see Tage Thompson fitting when it comes to goal scoring this season after a down year last year, you know, when he had, you know, less than 30, but 47 2 years ago?
It's a tough one for Thompson because you're wondering what underlying issues happen for him to slide like that. I mean, he has that heavy shot, right? Three shots over 100 miles per hour, 46 in that 90 to 100 miles per hour range. So like one of the top 10 players for speed, but certainly a drop off from last season, the season before, where he had 10 shot attempts over 100. So you know there's something happening in terms of like speed or like how he's playing. 17 one-timer goals in that 22-23 season, only 6 last season. So there were like areas that like give you that question of where will he be and what does that regression look like? Hopefully upwardsly for the Sabres, but maybe not to the extent that he had 2 seasons ago. And I mean, the trick with like odds is, of course, yes, Matthews is going to be the favorite, right?
Yep.
Minus 115, almost breaking that 70 goal scoring. Really hard to catch, but I'll compare him to Tage for a second in an interesting way. So when we look at a different style of shot, that catch and release, where they're able to grab the puck within 1 second, they fire it on the goal. So not a one-timer, like Tage Thompson can also score.
Yep.
But sort of that unique dynamic release. Over the last 3 seasons, Austin Matthews has 65 catch and release goals to lead the NHL, and Tage Thompson is in second with 47. So he can score in different ways. So maybe there is some disrespect to not have him top 10 if he's healthy, but probably the bookmakers are saying, I'm not sure what's going on last season, and I'm going to err on the side of caution with Thompson.
Yeah, obviously that top line with Buffalo will look different. No Jeff Skinner this year. Who will play the left side? Is it Jay Paterka? Do you put Jason Zucker there? Do you still have maybe a trick in the hat to acquire somebody to play on that left side? It will be interesting. I love that stat of the one-timer. He went from 17 goals on the one-timer 2 years ago. A lot of them on the power play, and the power play dropped last year, and Tage had the hand injury and only had 6 one-timer goals. If that goes back to 17, I mean, maybe goes up to 20. We're talking close to 50 goals probably for Tage Thompson, which would be awesome.
Could be, but may not beat Austin Matthews even if he does score 50.
I know, but he would be higher than tied for 18th in the odds if that was the case. Okay, how about this one? The Vezina Trophy has Connor Hellebuyck at plus 600, Shesterkin at plus 600, and Jeremy Swayman at plus 600. They're tied. They're all 3 tied for first in the odds. And we don't see Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen on that list at all. He's not even in the top 10. He's not on any list. But he was one of the better goalies in the second half last year. Could we see Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen coming in and making a stand for, hey, look at me, I could be a Vezina Trophy winner?
Or at least in the conversation. Last season, he did play really well. When you talked about saves above expected, he was in the top 10. He was 9th.
Yeah.
With over plus 10 saved than he should have saved with an average goaltender. And the 9th best save percentage on scoring chances. So those high-quality shots, he was at 80.6% saving them. So very decent, very good. I mean, is he going to beat some of those top 3? Probably not, and that's why he's priced that way. But a major improvement, and that's something that the Sabres desperately need because their defensive structure wasn't great. You know, whether we look at on-man rushes, they were one of the worst in the league, and their power play was also the worst. They're not scoring. Defensively, they're not sound. There's a lot that would ride on a goaltender to save them in some of those games to even have a chance of making the playoffs this season.
Yeah, well, you mentioned how Luukkonen faced a lot of danger chances and dangerous shots. I felt like he got so much more confident in the second half of the season. Now he has to get a contract, but arbitration should settle that. At least he'll be in camp and ready to make his mark again. And last but not least, Megan, I want to touch on Rasmus Dahlin, because we here in Buffalo, and you're Niagara on the Lake right now, so I'm going to include you in our bubble of Buffalo, Western New York. We see what Dahlin does day in, day out, right? And yes. The rest of the league looks at the numbers. And 2 years ago was on pace for over a point a game. Then it settled down in the second half a little bit. Last year, not as high. But Dahlin does so much more than just the points. Right now, he's ninth on the odds behind Makar and Fox and Hughes and Bouchard and Yossi and those guys. But could he be one that is great value at plus 2,000 to maybe win the Norris Trophy?
Yes, and he's actually my favorite value for the Buffalo Sabres. You know, one of the youngest defensemen in that points over the last two seasons, and indications he's improving. What I like to think about Dahlin, too, is defensively, just how amazing he is when you're talking about the details of his game. So he actually led the NHL in puck recovery. So getting the puck back, not just for defensemen, for any player, and pass interceptions last year. Mm-hmm. He was also one of the best in the league in completed stretch passes. So those longer passes, he's able to see his target, make that pass, a really smart player. So offensively, he can set up players, top five in scoring, chance assists, meaning he sets up his teammates for high quality assists. But what I really like about Dahlin, and what I think you're saying, and I know as well, is he's incredible defensively. So he's the whole package for a defenseman. He's what you want a defenseman to be. If I was voting and I could see these stats, he would be top three for me. And maybe as we roll out more data in the NHL, he'll be higher on people's list just because of how impactful he is defensively.
Okay, well, we got to keep banging that drum and keep the promotion out there for Rasmus Dahlin. He should not be at plus 2,000. He should be a lot higher. We could do an extra hour on many other statistical numbers and all of that. We'll get you back on the show when the season starts, Megan. I want you to enjoy the summer and do what you got to do, but it was awesome to have your visit and be able to put some numbers like the Thompson number, the Luukkonen number, the Dahlin numbers, to be able to see what next year is going to be like. Thanks a lot.
Awesome. Anytime.
It was Megan Chayka of StatLeets. We'll be right back to end our Thursday edition of Sabres Live here in a couple of minutes.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Okay, we got about a minute here before we got to wrap up Sabres Live and move on to One Bills Live with Brownie and Tasker. The Bills training camp just around the corner, so lots of Bills talk. But before we go and say goodbye, ESPN released their top 100 professional athletes of the 2000, and I have an issue with the list. Number one is Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps is a great athlete, and he should be top five, definitely. But I don't know that I'd have him number one. Number two, Serena Williams. Serena Williams could be competing for number one. I would put her up there. Lionel Messi is three. LeBron James is four. Tom Brady, I know we don't like Tom Brady here. He's fifth. Tom Brady should be a top three guy in the 2000. Tiger Woods is eight. He should be maybe top of the list. Like, I feel like this list is just to get us talking, right? Sidney Crosby's 22nd. He's the highest ranked NHL player in this 100 best athletes of the 2000. So whatever, but I don't think Michael Phelps should have been number one. We're going to see you tomorrow from the Danny Garen Friends Tournament at Connect Life. We'll see you tomorrow.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.